Then Christian greetings in the precious name of Jesus this morning, this beautiful Easter morning. What better day time to occupy our time than to be in God's house. I almost called Brother Darvin this morning, but I'm feeling okay, except my voice just was really, like I said, down in the basement, really croaky. And oftentimes that gets a little better as the day progresses. Today it didn't seem to be working out that much that way, but I tried to save my voice throughout the morning here and wasn't really singing along too lustily with the songs this morning, except like Brother Darvin said, the last song is one of my favorites too. And our God is alive, you know, beyond the azure blue. As we think of a beautiful Sunday morning, I went to do chores this morning, and there's a big silvery moon up in the western sky, and it's just what a privilege, what an opportunity to serve our risen Savior, the one who has done so much for us and is continuing to work in our lives. I trust that each one of us are feeling his presence each and every moment of our life. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew 28. I struggled some which gospel to look into, but I just always am inspired to read through this Sunday morning experience as the sisters went to the tomb as they worshiped Christ and to find the tomb empty. I don't know what would have went through your being if you were to have been one of them there that morning. Matthew 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. I don't know what goes through your heart as you think of the experience that these women and his disciples experienced that day. But you know, as we think of this Easter morning, this time where we think about our Lord rising from the dead, a risen Savior who is, I trust, working in the lives of each one of us. He is real to you and I trust. You know, as you think of this morning, across the land, there's the possibility that there are many churches filled with capacity, to its capacity. But sad to say, only today. I'm glad and thankful to be looking into the faces of individuals that I believe or at the Lord's house every Sunday morning that is possible. Because we understand that that is a priority. We understand if we're going to be alive in Christ, we need to worship him, not only in God's house on a Sunday morning, but each and every day of our lives as we spend time in devotion and meditation to him. But we understand the importance of gathering together with those of like precious faith, with God's people, individuals who have surrendered their heart and life to him. You know, as we think of Easter, we look into the scriptures, Acts 12, verse 4 would be the only time we find the word Easter in our King James Version. But as we think of the time when Christ came here and walked upon the earth as a man, as an individual, as you and I this morning, as our teacher brought out this morning. He gave us so much to think about and to meditate upon, so many examples that we can apply to our life, and so much meaning to our lives here below. We live in a sin-cursed earth, and we face trials, we face struggles, we face temptations and disappointments in life. But someday, that will all end, if we are faithful and true to Him. Someday, we can spend the ceaseless ages of eternity with Him, all because of His resurrection, of His dying upon the cross, that precious blood as it flowed from His body for you and I, as the soldiers pierced His side. This morning, we'd like to think of the significance of the resurrection of Christ. Probably what I have to bring this morning to Bible-reading, Bible-believing people is nothing new. But I believe it does us good to think about it from time to time. The significance of the resurrection of Christ. Really, what significance does it play in your life and my life? What is that importance? Well, for beginning, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'd like to read some of the words of Paul here. First part of the message is, if Christ was not raised, then what? Well, Paul talks about that here in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 14 is the verse I like to look at. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. This morning, you would have no need of me to stand up here and expound the scriptures, because it wouldn't be worth anything. It would all be vain. All the effort that we put forth. And Paul understood that in the significance and importance of the resurrection of Christ. He says, then would our preaching be vain. What use would it be to preach the gospel message of salvation to a lost and dying world? It would be empty. It would be meaningless. Because what would there be to proclaim? It would be just like a fairy tale. Well, praise God, it's more than a fairy tale this morning. It is real. It is life to humankind, to mankind. If Christ were not risen, then gospel preaching would be vain. It would have no life, no life-changing message to give to the world, to those in need of a Savior. Yes, today, this morning, for the most part, probably we're gathered together as born-again children of God. So why do we have preaching? Why do we need it? Well, we all know that we're human, we're not perfect, and we need that inspiration from His Word, His life-giving Word. Secondly, he says in the latter part of verse 14 that your faith would also be vain. What would your faith be based on? What faith would you have if it were not for Jesus Christ, our living, risen Lord and Redeemer? Our belief in Christ, again, would be empty and meaningless. This story that we know of Christ leaving the glories of heaven to come down to a sin-cursed earth, to spend time here on the earth pointing men to God, to the Father, through Him, would all be vain. That faith that we have, that little grain of mustard seed, how could it grow if it were not for the life-giving blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary? And that resurrection power that we can feel within our lives, within our very being, as we accept Christ into our heart, as we then take His Word, the truths of the Scriptures, and apply them to our life, and mold our life after His pattern that He has given to us, and allow Him to lead us in the paths of righteousness and truth. Verse 15, we see thirdly that the the apostles would have been false witnesses if Christ were not risen from the dead. He says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not, if so be that the dead rise not. Christ rose on his own power, because we believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, wherewith we all are witnesses. You know, as we think of the disciples, I often think about and meditate upon the fact that, oh, what would it have been like to be one of his chosen disciples back when he walked the streets of Galilee, of Jerusalem, of the cities and the land thereabout. What would it have been like to be with him and to hear his words as he spoke and prophesied of what would come to pass? And we understand through the scriptures that it was hard for them to understand. It was hard for them to accept the teaching of Jesus and to really to understand what was going to transpire. But then to be witnesses of his life. They saw him upon the cross. They knew that he was placed in the tomb. He was dead. But they saw him living after that. Acts 10, verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after that he rose from the dead. You know, if Christ really had not risen, what significance would that have had in their lives? They were as false apostles. Another thing that Paul brings out in these verses here is verse 17. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. I ask you a question this morning. Do you know what it is like to live above sin? Do you know what it is like to live from the freedom of sin? I hope you do. I hope each one of us does who has accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. But you know, if Christ would not have risen from the dead, if he would not have been have victor over death, hell, and the grave, you and I today could not experience that power within our lives. You and I today could not experience the joys, the peace, the relationship that we can have with Christ. We would still be in our sins. You know, the Old Testament scriptures are there for our learning. They're there, we're told, as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to help us to see that man of his own power cannot live victoriously. Man of his own power cannot live above sin. But through the power of the resurrection of Christ. I can't begin hardly to comprehend that significance in the life of the child of God. It's so wonderful, so marvelous that we can experience that within our lives. You know, as we think of Christ, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, no such person could have provided a sacrifice that was holy and without blemish except Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If Christ had not raised from the dead, believers would have perished in death. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished if Christ had not risen from the dead. That would be the end. There would not be any more. But we believe in a resurrection that is yet to come. And I trust this morning that we are anticipating that resurrection. We are looking forward to the day when the dead arise from the grave and those who are alive can be caught up together to be with Christ throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. But that only happens because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we think of this beautiful Easter morning again and thinking of the atonement that was made for our sins through Jesus. And that we, through that resurrection power, can die to sin. Yes, we realize and understand that is an ongoing work in our behalf, saying no to our flesh, to our carnal nature. But praise God, there is power that we can overcome. Praise God, we can experience victory. And you know, we all know that one victory helps us to have another and another, and to grow and to become more like our Savior, to walk more closely with Him, to have a more intimate relationship with Him. You know, sometimes we go through life and we face some frustrations as we strive to relate to one another as families, as church families. And sometimes we just like to back off and have a little space. But you know, I think most of us, and not all of us, come back to wanting to interact with other individuals. We have been created social beings. And we have been created and been instilled within us that desire to worship, that desire to have a relationship beyond our fellow man and the individuals here on earth. Well, it is through that resurrection power of Christ that we can have that meaningful relationship with Him. Also, Paul says that Christians are to be pitied if Christ raised not from the dead. Verse 19, if in this life only we have been hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. There is life beyond the grave. Praise God. Hallelujah. There is life because of our risen Lord and Redeemer. He is not in the grave. He is sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. And as we go through life, there are those here today, children, who are growing physically and look and moving toward the prime of life. There are youth here today that we often say are in the prime of life. But there are those of us here today who have a few gray hairs on our head, and our bodies just don't function. We just don't have quite the energy that we used to have. And as we contemplate that, it's a sobering fact. It's a fact that we don't like to really face, but it is a fact that we need to accept. But it doesn't put us in despair, because there is hope beyond the grave. We're looking forward to a day, and we know that regardless of our age, God can call us home at any time, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So as we think of life here below, we realize we need to say no to some things in life. Some of our desires, some of our inclinations that come from our carnal nature, our fallen man, some of the worldly temptations and pleasures that are around about us. We say no to that. And we realize that we may have to face persecution. We may be made fun of. We live in a land where we don't face that to a great deal, but as a brother brought out, we never know when that can change. And especially as we think of the days that we're in the last number of years, it just seems like degeneration of man seems to be progressing more rapidly. And we don't know what tomorrow holds. But we are not of all men most miserable, because this morning we are serving a risen Savior. There is hope beyond the grave. There is joy that can be ours. I'd like to read a short poem by Philip Brooks. It says, tomb, thou shalt not hold him longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than the dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right. Faith and hope triumphant say, Christ will rise on Easter Day. And we know He has risen and is coming back for His own. had to think this morning as our brother was asking for verses by memory. I had to think of John 14, the first four verses, and I don't know if I can repeat them for sure, but it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you my own. For whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Do we know the way this morning? Are we trusting in him? Are we looking forward to his coming back? Well, last part of the message is, if Christ has been raised, it verifies our justification. Let's turn to a few verses in Romans chapter 4. You know, as we think of justification, that can be a message of its own and a number of messages. But justification, it's such a wonderful thought as we think of standing before God just as if I've never sinned. I can't hardly comprehend that thought, but I take it as God's word, and it is fact. Romans chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Justification, again, is such a beautiful thought. Jesus' own words in Matthew 26, 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." You and I today can have our sins more than just covered, but completely removed, completely washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. Stand before him justified as his children, as his servants, willing to go and to do at his bidding. Romans 8, verses 33 and 34. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." You know, one of the things we struggle with in life is forgiving our fellow man. Someone wrongs us, it's just pretty difficult for us to forget it, isn't it? But with God, that's easy. And we can learn from that. He says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified." Justify, again, back to that thought. Just as if I never sinned. You and I can have a clean slate. Verse 34. "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." You know, when you and I, as God's children, if we have made our calling and election sure, God, Christ will present us to God, "This is one of mine. His blood he gave for you and I and redeemed us." Also, if Christ has been raised, it demonstrates the power available to the Christian, to you and I this morning. That power is available to you and I. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians is such a treasured book of mine. When we think of Ephesians 1, verses 18 through 20. "The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness of his power." Notice, "to usward who believe." Do you comprehend that? The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places. That resurrection power is available to you and I. But you know, and we often heard it before, we need to avail ourselves of that power. We need to ask Christ to give us that power to be victors, to continue to give our lives for him. Colossians chapter 2, also a couple other verses we'd like to look at there. Colossians 2, verses 11 and 12. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. In other words, you and I need to be dead to self, right? We need to die continually, daily to self. Self cannot be on the throne, but Christ, who has risen from the dead, can give us new life, an abundant life, a life that we know cannot know anything of unless we're surrendered to his lordship. Again, Romans is a very rich chapter, Romans 8, of the resurrection power that is available to you and I, the power to live the Christian life. Won't turn back there, but I'd like to read a few verses from Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, as we think of this Easter morning and thinking of Christ's resurrection and that power that is yours and mine to be had, that is all good. But Paul says here in the Philippians letter here, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We tremble before an awesome and mighty God because we realize our own inadequacies. We realize our own failures in life. But that doesn't shirk us of our responsibility in taking the measures, the steps, in walking with Christ, in obeying the scriptures, and following him each and every day. Paul says further on in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What a blessing it is to feel the power of Christ working within our lives when we conform to his will for us. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, whatever we can think of, whatever we can ask for, Christ is able to do far more than what we can ask or think, Paul says, according to the power that worketh in us. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Praise God for that resurrection power. Praise God for his working within our lives to help us to do the things and to walk the ways of truth and righteousness that we cannot do of our own. That gives cause for rejoicing and praise unto him who died for us. If Christ is raised, it gives us hope concerning our resurrection. Let's turn back to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven, what does he say? For you. Peter, I believe, is talking to each one who has accepted Christ as our Lord and Redeemer. Each one who is walking by faith. Each one who is trusting. Each one who is walking in obedience. It's reserved in heaven for you. Each one of us. That gives us hope. That gives us the wherewithal to keep on pressing on. We all know it takes work. We all know it takes energy. We all know it takes diligence and perseverance. But I think we've all heard and understand that anything worthwhile attaining to takes some effort. Is heaven worth attaining to? Is heaven worth it in your eyes, in your mind? I trust it is, as we think of being with Christ. You know, and there are individuals upon this earth today who question the validity of heaven or hell. Question whether really there is a heaven or hell. There are people who would like to reject that thought. And partly probably because they don't want to accept responsibility. But to you and I this morning, we believe, we understand. You know, as often as I think of trying to prove to an individual that there is a God, trying to prove to an individual that the Bible is true, it's probably rather difficult. And part of the reason that they don't want to accept it or admit it is because they haven't experienced it. And for you and I this morning, I trust and firmly believe we have experienced it and are experiencing that resurrection power within our lives. 1 Peter 1, verse 21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You know, as we live in this world and as things become more unstable around us, let's not lose our faith in God. Let's not lose our own stability. We probably all can think of individuals who have lost their stability, who have lost their confidence and trust in God. And this world is a changing world. Brother talked about the fact of God's immutability, I believe it was brought out in a Sunday school lesson. We can rejoice in the fact that God does not change. God is always there, regardless where we are in life. God is there. We can have that confidence and trust in him. Well, as we think also, backing up a verse in 1 Thessalonians 4, actually 13 and 14, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Last point then is, as we think of Christ being risen from the dead, it demands our complete loyalty. Today we serve a risen Savior. Turn back with me to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14, verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. That he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Is he our Lord this morning? It demands our loyalty to him. It demands that we give our life to him. We have been bought with a price. We are no longer our own when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Redeemer. We all know that he either has all of us or none of us. We need to be completely sold out to him. The things of this world grow strangely dim, the songwriter says. And I believe that is because of a transformed heart, a renewed mind that is living for Jesus. Back to Ephesians chapter 1, again verse 20, which he wrought in Christ, who he raised from the dead and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places. And going on in verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be, notice, head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And we all understand that Christ is the head of the church, the Lord, the Savior of the body. Am I part of the church of Jesus Christ? Am I walking with him? Am I fully trusting him and walking in obedience with him each and every day? Well, so we bring the message to a close. Someone has said the unbeliever also needs to examine the significance of the resurrection carefully. And it verifies, because it verifies the deity his deity, and that he has all authority. Christ is the one of supreme authority. Romans 1, verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And then Matthew 28, 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And last of all, verse 2, 36, chapter 2, 36 of Acts. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ. And we understand that this morning as we think of the deity of Christ and his authority, his role in your and I, my life this morning. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus says in chapter 14, verse 6 of John. And he came also to give us an abundant life, a life overflowing, not just so we eke by, not just so we can get into glory, but that abundant life. I love those words of Christ there. chapter 10 of John, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Christ didn't come to this earth to die just so we'd have life, but that we would have an abundant life, a life overflowing with gratitude and praise, a life of peace, of joy, of happiness. You know, there's within all of mankind the desire for happiness, and that's in the Constitution of the United States of America, that we have that right to seek for happiness. And I believe God wants us to be happy. I believe God has created us that we would be people of happiness, of joy. And happiness is the thought of, yes, and enjoying life and having a joyful spirit, but joy goes beyond that, even beyond circumstances around us. Because as we understand, God created us to have a relationship with him. And I believe he has places here on this earth and desires for us to have joy and happiness, even though we live in a sin-cursed earth. That is not as easy, but because of Christ and his resurrection, that can be our lot in life. And I trust we are experiencing that because of his resurrection power within our lives. In closing, I'd like to read a poem by Martin Luther. Christ Jesus lay in death's strong bands for our offenses given. But now at God's right hand he stands and brings us life from heaven. Therefore let us joyful be and sing to God right thankfully loud songs of Alleluia. It was a strange and dreadful strife when life and death contended. The victory remained with life, the reign of death was ended. Holy Scripture plainly saith that death is swallowed up by death, his sting is lost forever. Then let us feast this Easter day on Christ, the bread of heaven. The word of grace hath purged away the old and evil leaven. Christ alone our souls will feed. He is our meat and drink indeed. Faith lives upon no other. Let's come before him in prayer.